Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for more war updates. The war is progressing, nothing spectacular, just missile strikes. CNN is covering it as, oh my god, the missile strikes are getting close to the border of Poland. But that is just, it's war propaganda. I don't know, do they want Putin to continue to Poland? Because it seems that the strikes are very clearly on the side of Ukraine. It seems that the missiles are they're at least 30, 40 miles away from the Poland border. So they're trying to generate anxiety and worries around a continuation of the war. But at the same time, they're taking actions that may cause, my camera has been shaking. That may cause the extension of the war because you have Poland, Slovakia, Germany trying to stack up missile silos and stack up weaponry and potentially send a peace mission. That's how they called it, a peace mission into Ukraine, which would be a very bad idea. Poland will formally submit a proposal for a peacekeeping mission in Ukraine at the next NATO summit, Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki said on Friday. The question is not whether you come with an intent to have a peace mission, whether you come with the intent of delivering purely humanitarian relief. The question is, what happens when a bullet gets into a Polish soldier? What happens when someone gets shot accidentally? Because in the end, you're not going to keep the peace. This is a war between Russia and Ukraine. They want to shoot at each other. There's no peacekeeping to be done here. So I don't know what they have in mind, but to me it looks like what they have in mind is cause more escalation. Firestarter says, think Poland is more nervous of the Africans coming from Ukraine. You think that there are Africans passing by Ukraine? I was not aware, but maybe through the port of Odessa. Who knows? Earlier, Carlota was saying, I hope JF addresses the temperature question, the TQ. Is there such a thing as a temperature question? I've not been made aware of this. I am not aware of what would be the shocking thing about temperature, the temperature of the earth or the temperature of the human body. I'm not sure what you're talking about. The Danish Minister of Defense, Morten Bødskov, has announced that Denmark is willing to send military security forces to support a NATO or Polish-led peacekeeping mission into Ukraine, and that the Danish military has begun preparing for such an operation. So somehow Denmark will also be involved in this. Okay, you're talking about the temperature in JF studio. Well, the temperature right now is back to normal because it's really not cold outside. So we're certainly not in freezing temperature. And at this point, it's barely distinguishable from the rest of the house because the temperature differentials between the house and the outside are getting more and more spring, more and more reasonable. All right, so Denmark would be involved. There will be soldiers. What would they do? And what happens when they get accidentally bombarded? What happens if there's an intentional engagement? What happens if they are in the way of Russia realizing its military objectives in Ukraine? When you are at the middle between two people, two armies who want to get at war with one another, you are not just a neutral entity. You are keeping more one army to do what they would want to do and less the other army, especially if the other army is in a defensive position as Ukraine is. A neutral adversary in between the two sides would be merely a help for Ukraine, and therefore it could be justifiably perceived from the Russian side as an interference in the goals of war that Russia has set. Court issues arrest warrant for Viktor Medvedchuk, the leader of Ukraine's pro-Russian opposition platform party, an associate of Vladimir Putin. Medvedchuk had been detained on house arrest for charges of treason, but escaped under suspicious circumstances on February 28. So now he has an arrest warrant after him. I'm glad that he escaped. Because I think that when the Ukrainian justice system goes after you for corruption or treason, you know that you're not going to get justice. And these accusations are almost always extremely political in nature. This is the guy who appeared in the Ukraine, the second one, not Ukraine on Fire, but the one that followed Ukraine Revealed. And so he appeared in the Oliver Stone documentary, and now he is being searched after by the Ukrainian authorities to accuse him of collaborating with the enemy, I guess. But he's merely a political opponent. He's merely someone who thinks of Ukrainian politics differently. And interestingly, in the documentary Ukraine Revealed, He's actually married to a cute woman who is a TV star, and she lost her job as a reality TV star, some kind of, you know, housewife of Beverly Hills type of stuff, the Ukrainian version. And she just got fired from her TV show because she was the wife of someone who was judged too pro-Russian in Ukraine. This is all you need to know to understand that there is no such thing as democracy or fairness in Ukraine. When a political opponent sees his own wife get fired from her job for being on her side, on his side, and then he gets arrested for some kind of treason, we don't know exactly what would be the content of these charges. To me, it looks like an extremely corrupt political environment. Stephen Robinson says on the regular chat, "My front yard was clear of snow today. It's time to garden. Let's go, growers." Yes, it's definitely opening up. We still have plenty of snow, so we can't start planting on our side, but we can start preparing. We can start planning our seeding activities and have everything planned so that when the soil is ready, we will be able to plant quickly. Lodazal says, "Putin jails political opponents as well." Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'm not saying here Russia is free of any guilt in terms of political corruption, but it's something to see it happen in a country like Ukraine, which seems to be thinking about being part of Europe, thinking about being part of NATO. The level of corruption there is intolerable for any of these political entities, to me. And I know that these political entities like the US, NATO, Europe, this is all very corrupted, but it's corrupted at another level. This in Ukraine is very low-level corruption, like mafia-style corruption. The U.S., at least in their corrupt ways of intervening across the world, reversing government and attacking other nations, there is a certain level of class to it that is much less corrupt than what you would see in Ukraine. The state of the war, the South Coast has been completely dominated by the Russian forces, and so now the next objective is Mykolaiv, and the Russian forces are advancing in different areas around Mykolaiv. As far as the siege of Kiev, it is still in the same stance. What we've had is a couple of Western bombardments up to Lviv, bombardments of airports and military infrastructure, and as far as the fronts, they are pretty much still the same, but progressing very well. We see the clashes where Russia is being pushed back are claimed around Kiev here. They said that they have liberated up to 70 kilometers around Kiev that is now under Ukrainian control. But to me, that's just the orders of the Russian army, probably, to just drive back. Drive back when you get attacked. Don't engage with the Ukrainian army in Kiev. The goal is probably to encircle Kiev, but not to enter in it right now. Sam says, Ukraine needs to learn modern corruption, to ostracize sneakily, isolate financially, lie through deceptive mass media, a mental cage which is invisible to most people. That is good democratic Western corruption. That's exactly what I'm saying. Not that I'm praising this form of corruption, but definitely, like, the Ukrainians are like children, the children of corruption. It's like they're going at it way too strong. It's like, bro, that's not how we do corruption here in the West. You're going to have to westernize your corruption. By the way, join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me questions and super chats to support the show. Should DeSantis keep investing in education or just defund the educators? Because it keeps happening that these interesting politicians, who I could find charming to a certain extent, they end up doing stuff like this. Florida governor announces an additional $300 million to improve student achievement and close learning gaps. The thing with this is, I get it. It's not a bad thing to care about children and getting them to be better educated, but I think they should understand the mechanics of throwing money at the educational system. Even if you have laws that are harsh against LGBT activism and that kind of stuff in your classrooms, this money will still end up in the hands of leftists, who will end up corrupting the youth by using this money, and who will make a living out of continuing to corrupt the youth. So I say, defund the educators. Don't on the one hand complain that your entire educational system has veered into LGBT activism, and on the other hand throw money at it, because the money you throw 10 years down the line is going to fund the exact things that you're trying to combat politically. Please understand that you should fund the educational system a little bit like you fund the Ukrainian resistance. It's knowing that it's going to be subversive, it's going to be dirty. Don't throw any dollar at them that you don't want to end up working against you. Sam says, from my privileged position, I prefer the Ukrainian way. At least it is physical and vital. The terror of the Western corrupt panopticon is more like psychological torture by a torturer you can't see. Oh yeah, I'm definitely not saying that I prefer the Western corruption. The Western corruption has an aspect of subversion to it and of impossibility to combat because people don't even see it. That it's something. It's, as you describe, it induces even more psychological torture effect because it's an invisible ghost. It's even corporations at times that join in the drive to censor, the drive to socially exclude. So it's not easy to deal with. Ariel Suarez says, one of the main problems is that they are throwing money because of underachievement. That's another problem. If you reward underachievement with money, you're going to have a bunch of professionals who will either understand explicitly or they will unconsciously be motivated at creating more underachievement because you have created a system of reward that is opposite what it should be. If we reward success, we're going to create more success. If we reward failure, we're going to create more failure. War review. Multiple strikes on Voznesensk ammunition storage site. We can see the storage site here in fire, on fire. When they strike these ammunition sites, I'm guessing that there's lots of that bullet powder that is exploding and catching fire. So that's why they create extremely toxic and extremely dark clouds when it happens. We've seen helicopters from the Russian side fly over Donetsk. It seems that the Donetsk airspace is relatively safe for the Russian army here. Helicopters are progressing. We can see another helicopter sending some flares, I don't know. Maybe it was at the front, maybe it was receiving some sign that it was getting attacked. Some flares again here. Perhaps they were being targeted by MEN pads or other anti-air defense. This is a picture of the shelling in Kharkiv, the results of the shelling. So you can see smoke arising not so close to the city. Ukrainian military has repelled two tanks near Chernihiv, so Chernihiv being completely encircled, but the Ukrainians successfully fighting back and here completely destroying a Russian tank on the photo and another one, as they claim. Two killed and six wounded as Russian missiles targeted administrative building and residential apartments in Kramatorsk. You can see a lot of buildings are just going to complete waste. Fires throughout the building. It's quite impressive how the fire is kind of seeded inside the building. And you can see smoke arising from all of the windows, meaning the whole inside of the building is burning as a result of these missile strikes. And eventually you just have the shell remaining. The shell of rocks or metal or whatever the structure that was not wood-based or cardboard-based. Russian army artillery shelling. That's another example of buildings burning following the artillery attacks. Completely burned here. And there it is while it was on fire. Sam says, it's like the difference between a pitched battle with shield and sword where your life is somewhat in your own hand, compared to war against drones and missiles that can strike you silently with no chance of defense. That is a good metaphor for the West oppression of speech and of political thought and political engagement. One killed and four wounded as a result of missile interception over Podilsky district of Kiev. The firefighters are fighting back against these fires. So the striking on the Russian side is continuing at a satisfying pace. In Chernihiv is getting the same fate as Mariupol. Look at this. This is the fire reported by NASA based on satellite observations. Chernihiv is on fire. And it wouldn't be long. You can see that they're entering Chernihiv, basically firing from the east. And the Western Front is present here, but... And there are some specific bombardments. But there is a big concentration of firepower being concentrated on the eastern part of the city. And I would guess that Chernihiv will end up exactly like Mariupol, full destruction of pretty much everything within a week or two. Near Izium, Russian forces attacked here. We can see the fire in the background. I don't know what was catching fire there. Firestarter was trying to guess what kind of tank it was that was burnt. A T-64 BV, he says. I'm not an expert of tanks, so I wouldn't know. This is in the Donetsk People's Republic, a scene at night. Artillery being fired. The optimistic pessimist says, I am offline on entropy, Sometimes Entropy restart their server. I'm not offline. Personally, I'm still seeing myself online. So can you try reconnecting to Entropy and let me know if there's a problem with the link or something? But personally, I see myself right there. Of course, I am offline in the sense that you can't watch me on Entropy. Entropy is just our platform at this point to send questions directly to me and to send super chats, because unfortunately Entropy has not integrated the Odyssey support, so I unfortunately cannot display the Odyssey video inside Entropy. So Donetsk artillery firing continues. There's been a lot of discussion about schools and kindergarten being targeted by the Russian army. But the fact is, we have video evidence here that the Azov battalion is regrouping in children's centers and elementary school.
Перфоратор, почекайте секунду. Велинка уваги. Кого сильно заїла тоска по дому, в санузлі буде женська пілотка.
It seems that they're doing some jokes, but they're doing this in children's center. So if you don't want children's center to get targeted by missiles, don't bring your armed personnel. don't bring your armed personnel. Okay, so Stephen Robinson is confirming that Entropy, well, it says stream already exists. There is already an active session on your channel. Well, here, let me try to create a new session so that we can resolve this bug. Sorry about this. Should DeSantis continue funding educational stuff, or just defund the educators? Defund or fund? Okay, so I've restarted the Entropy link. Let me know if that works. See, there are other people who were reporting that it was working. Fractalman says, working for me. and people are asking if Odyssey allows rewinding. I don't know if they do. It seems like they may have added this option very recently. They told me that they were working on their back end of the streaming, so perhaps we will have, for example, myself, I can go back 15 minutes right now. So somehow Odyssey may have started to allow this kind of watching backward, and that's interesting. Fire in Sumy. Huge fire started by missile attacks here in Sumy. Fractalman says, you can rewind a bit, but it causes a lot of issues. Yeah, that was my impression, that a lot of people are rewinding and it's they have difficulty rejoining us at the live moment of the show. Enormous fires. The moment a Russian rocket hit a residential building that's in Kiev. So we have video now of this moment. I think it was one or two nights ago. Oh, it was the 17th, so it was last night. Big strike right here. there was a train, and the train system has been quite interesting, because we've seen a lot of people being shot when they try to flee by car, but the train system of Ukraine has been a staple of relative safety for people escaping. And in fact, that's how Coach Red Pill made it to Kharkiv, despite the fact that he was advancing toward the front of the war. But here we see a little conflict between the train system and Russian tanks as they are trying to pass across the rail, and this has forced this high-speed train to stop with the emergency brakes. You'll see, it will be It will be sounding is siren. Very nice. Well, it seems that no one was hurt, but you know, when there's a train and there's a Russian tank and we're at war, the tank has priority. Blood and Biden says, "Hello, JF. Nice to see you on Odyssey. Good to see you. Great." Yes, I've been loving the Odyssey experience. Justet says, "Is anyone else experiencing a blurry screen here live? I'm set at 1080p, but it's blurry." You may. I mean, the show is not at 1080p anymore because Odyssey is weaker on this. We have to be at 720p. So you might experience it as less good than back in the YouTube days, but it's the best we can do on Odyssey right now. I mean, Odyssey technically has 1080p support, but they support such a low bitrate that at 1080p we would be losing a lot of quality because it would take much more gigabytes, and as a consequence the bitrate would be reduced. So perhaps I would tell you, if you want to have the best streaming experience, perhaps the best option is at 720p. That's this morning, a strike by missile right here. All right. And keep in mind that sometimes the videos I show may be blurry. No 720p option available here. Well, I have to check this. It was my impression that I was in 720p, but maybe I'm misleading you right now. I'm not sure. All right. We have here video recording of the aftermath of shelling. Lots of destruction in various towns of Ukraine. Look at the street, completely covered in debris. And here, cars completely destroyed, burnt. Lots of debris to be collected. That is the state of many cities right now in Ukraine. We see heavy bombardment in Mariupol here. Mariupol, I don't know the size of the seat of resistance there, but it's getting totally controlled. There are some institutions that are now under the control of the Russian. They seem to want to impose on Mariupol the same they've done in Militopol, which is a complete takeover and a replacement of the local political elites. All right, just that reports that he just refreshed and all was clear. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can have a change of the software live on Odyssey and you still hold the old software and it leads to connection problem. A six-year-old boy gives his drone to the Ukraine's military. The boy from Sumy Oblast decided to give his own birthday gift to the military after hearing about their needs for UAVs, the Ukrainian Parliament's Educational Center reported. Someone was saying about this. I don't know. This feels weird to me. Should we involve children like this in a war? I mean, if the child gets bombarded, eventually you're going to complain that a child has been bombarded, right? So why would he be featured in a media article like this promoting his contribution to the Ukraine side of the army? I mean, to a certain extent, you're making a target out of him. The Optimic Pessimist sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, did you see Elon Musk Ukraine NPC meme? Also, I found this article today. I didn't see the Ukraine NPC meme, Elon Musk. You would have to send me the link to this. Elon Musk Ukraine NPC meme. I don't know if I will get it immediately. It seems that there are news item from 4 days ago about this. Let's see. I support the current thing. Yeah, I mean, this has been quite a meme, this whole idea of the NPC supporting what the American media tells them to support. And yes, it's true that they have switched from the LGBT flag to the Ukraine flag quite quickly. But that is a good representation of what's happening here. The left is made into a machine to do activism, really. It's kind of a recruitment of the energy of hashtag activism. This whole idea that on Twitter, there's a kind of mob compelment and people are getting forced in all of the same direction. I refresh Twitter every day for finding images of the war, and let me tell you, what I see there is 99.9% support for Ukraine. Because anyways, the people who could have had the cognition that would appreciate the Russian side of this conflict, they have been banned for a long time. So not surprised at this meme. And he was also sending in his super chat, new insight into possible origins of life. For the first time, researchers create an RNA molecule that replicates. Well, okay. I will read this, but we knew that an RNA molecule can replicate because there are RNA viruses. So I guess you could say the first artificial RNA molecule that replicates, okay. Experiment sheds light on the molecular evolution of RNA. Researchers at the University of Tokyo have for the first time been able to create an RNA molecule that replicates, diversifies, and develops complexity following Darwinian evolution. This has provided the first empirical evidence that simple biological molecules can lead to the emergence of complex lifelike systems. Life has many big questions, not least being, where did we come from? Maybe you've seen the t-shirts with pictures going from ape to human, to tired office worker, blah blah blah. Although there have been many discussions of this theory, it has been difficult to physically create such RNA replication systems. However, in a study published, blah blah blah, they carried out a long-term RNA replication experiment in which they witnessed the transition from a chemical system towards biological complexity. So what did they introduce? They have an RNA, they have a replica. By the way, all of this comes from the virus world. The virus world has their replicas. So they have a translation system. Well, of course. Fresh translation system. Okay. They're manually refreshing the translation system. That doesn't look like abiogenesis. It looks like abiogenesis with a human kick. RNA molecules were incubated in water and oil droplets at 37 degrees Celsius for 5 hours. The solution was then diluted to 1/5 the concentration using new droplets containing RNA-free nutrients and stirred vigorously When this process was repeated multiple times, mutations occurred. Okay, well, that's just a bunch of scientists putting the minimal system for replication inspired from viruses, RNA viruses. I'm not against this kind of research, but at the same time, it's kind of what Lee Cronin was referring to as scam. Scam origins of life research. But any sort of reproduction in the lab of things like this are not really reproduction. That is what is criticizable about them. It's that it's not a reproduction of what happened on Earth. It's just what you can do in your lab. There could be another lab that does it another way. And the problem with these infinite possibilities of creating 1,000 different ways that replication could emerge is that it doesn't tell us how it emerged here. Surya says, yo, JF, yo, Surya. Total Grimm says, have you reviewed the video of the man that traveled into Kyiv? Not much happening other than heavy Western media presence. Okay, I will take a note of the video, but I won't play it live. I'll watch it alone tonight. But yeah, this is what CRP has been doing also. And he's been filming all those Western media on the sidewalks. And they didn't seem like they were getting bombarded at all. Justat says, JF, can you check into this and offer your opinion? MIT predicted society would collapse by 2040. New data tells how we're doing. Okay, interesting. MIT society predicted society would collapse by 2040. New data tells how we're doing. A close look at the controversial limits to growth model. Oh, well, I've commented already on the limits to growth model. I don't remember exactly what would be my take. I would have to reread what they're saying in this case, but I remember being quite hostile to the limits to growth model. Scientists in the 1970s at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology created a method to determine when the fall of society would take place. That method indicated the fall will be some point near the middle of the 21st century. In 1972, a team of researchers studied the risks of a doomsday scenario, examining limited availability of natural resources and the rising cost that would subvert the expectation of economic growth in the second decade of the 21st century, using a system dynamics model that was published by the Club of Rome, a Swiss-based global think tank, blah, blah, blah. The Earth, according to LTG, has been terraformed beyond repair by greenhouse gases from fossil fuels, making the next generation to endure the heavy legacy, a scarcity of mineral resources and a planet characterized by radioactive and heavy metal pollution. Like radioactive pollution. Not happening. Are you suffering the effects of radioactive pollution? No, not happening. But in 1972, that's exactly the kind of thing they would think about and be like, oh my God, there will be radioactive pollution. Well, there's none. In the 70s, the study was considered controversial and sparked the debate, with some pundits misrepresenting the findings and methods. Harrington's study concluded that society has about another decade to change courses and avoid collapse by investing in sustainable technologies and equitable human development. So this is the pitch. It's ultimately they want you to fund the rise of their favored economic sector. They want the state to keep favoring solar power, even to a point where it's not economically viable. They want to use the force of the state to put its fist on the balance to favor a bunch of things that probably wouldn't exist if it was just a matter of economic competitivity and rational decision making. So that's part of the fraud of this whole theory. Also, another aspect that I was criticizing about this model is this model fails to account human evolution. There is such a thing as human evolution, and if the world does get warmer and warmer, people will evolve. And if resources get rarer and rarer, people will evolve to need less resources. So you have to take all of this in consideration. And it's not because you've identified something that doesn't work in a projection of current humans into the future that this will lead to societal collapse. Societal collapse is a complex system where parts of humanity are advantaged or incentivized at destroying rather than constructing, and they eventually take over the leadership of the local tribe or nation. And it's not something you can predict based merely on, oh my god, we consume that much wheat, the wheat takes that many kilometer squares to produce, and therefore that's the year where society will crash. Much more complex. Steven Robinson says, hey Jeff, do you think that Russia will be motivated to dominate at the next Olympics? I would love to see their women smash all of the West trans women in every single event. No, I don't think so. Because I think that Russia will be rejected from the meeting of nations. I mean, they've rejected them in the Special Olympics because the Special Olympics happened after the war and the regular Olympics happened before the war. So if they follow up on what they did with the Special Olympics, they will eventually ban Russians from participating into the Olympics. So no, I don't expect you will see this ultimate like tall, beautiful Russian female just beating the trans woman from California. Night King says, Jeff, will you comment on the Destiny Fuentes debate? No, those are two people on my blacklist, so I will certainly not comment. If there was anything intellectually elevating coming out of this, I would, but in that case I would ask you to write to me an email that explains, because I won't watch the debate. You'll have to explain to me what was an intelligent idea that was presented in that debate, but I suspect there will be none. Dead Star says, who is JF debating tomorrow? I'm debating a guy named Counterpoints, not Contrapoints, Counterpoints, and I'll be taking the side of Russia in a debate on Ukraine versus Russia. Is the war justified? Which side should we root for? So we'll see what happens with this. One of Ukraine's main media sources, Khomadzke, discussing Donbass as a region that has a huge number of absolutely useless people. Of the 4 million in Donetsk area at the time, 1.5 million are superfluous and simply must be killed. Donbass is just a source of resources. This was mainstream TV in Ukraine, and they say there is a certain category of people that must be exterminated. This is scandalous, genocidal discussion. It's happening in Ukraine years ago, and it's the category of people they're complaining about are ethnic Russians. So there is a solid case being made here for Vladimir Putin's thesis that Ukraine needs some amount of denazification, that there are truly people who are hateful toward the Russian minority there. Tillman says, JF, have you seen the trans bicyclist? No, I don't spend my days, you know, watching the magazines, the sports magazine, to see who's the latest male transformed into a female to be competing and winning whatever new domain of sports they are trying to conquer. Okay. Have you seen? No, I haven't. I haven't. State Emergency Service of Ukraine on the job in Podolsky District, Kiev. Well, 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 lots of work for the firemen. Very interestingly, Vladimir Putin made a speech in front of a pro-war, pro-Putin rally. And it had the taste of Trump rallies, you know, the way he looks and the way it was all visually prepared with pop stars singing and big lights and the red, white, and blue of the Russian flag. Very interesting. He was in a giant glass dome to be presumably protected from assassination attempts. It's very interesting that he's kind of advancing a Trump-like intervention here. And weirdly, during the performance, while he was speaking to the crowd, he was interrupted, at least on the telediffusion side of it. You'll see it cuts right to a pop star singing as he is speaking.
Начало операции совпало, совершенно случайно совпало с днем рождения одного из наших выдающихся военных...
All of a sudden, it cuts, and people were raising all sorts of possibilities. Was this censorship? Was this because it was not truly live, and they kind of messed with the editing, or was it just a technical error, or was it that Putin somehow needed some emergency check? And but how did they switch to pop stars singing on the stage? Something wasn't live in there, either the Putin speech or the pop stars, but something wasn't live here. Something was, and yeah, Firestarter says censor Putin in Russia. Yeah, that would be weird. So it doesn't sound like this would be a good explanation. I don't know what happened, but yeah, Putin got cut halfway through his sentence, and that's it. You just have to accept it. Destruction in Kramatorsk, filming of the buildings that have been destroyed. Ah, so Putin is being cancelled. That could be an explanation. Cancel culture strikes again. Cancel culture as just applied in Russia for Putin. Steven Robinson says on Entropy, have you listened to Kid Rock cringe new song called We the People? Gen X is full boomer now. I haven't. I can guess that it's some kind of where he, I guess, hey, you know what? I think I listened to it. I think somehow YouTube ended up recommending it to me. I think I may have listened to it a week ago. And yeah, it's some kind of American boomerish stand. Okay. Yeah, I think I saw it. Not much interested. Twigs Cadre Mallette says, Jeff, could you clarify who are on the blacklist of men with no honor? The people who attack my family or me personally instead of addressing my IDs are put on my blacklist. I will not list their name here because that would be against the rules of the blacklist. the rules of the blacklist is do not ever generate publicity for these people. Do not ever appear on their channel to generate content for free for them, because they had all the chance to have me as a guest. You know, if you're tired on a night and you there's not much news, you invite Papa JF, you get an easy show, he's going to do a couple of jokes and it's not going to be dramatic. But instead, they have chosen to attack me personally. As a consequence, I will spend the rest of my life ignoring these individuals until the day they die. And the day they die, I will write an obituary that explains just how much of a failure they were in life. And eventually, down the line, I will ensure that all of my shows survive in the torrent form, so that in 1,000 years from now, the only remaining trace of their existence will be my statement at the moment of their death, highlighting just how useless they were to the universe. Moscow and Kiev are halfway there in key parts of their peace talks. So Moscow and Kiev are both showing signs, at least on the mediatic side. They're all claiming the problem now is the defense of Ukraine. Ukraine wants security guarantees. And it seems that what Ukraine is trying to have done, and the UK has said they were willing to do this, because they don't want to be defended by Russia, because they're afraid of being invaded by Russia. So what they want is, they want a ceasefire deal between the two countries. Ukraine seems to be willing to kind of demilitarize, or significantly demilitarize, or at least not join NATO and not accumulate certain types of weaponry. And they would want the UK to be the kind of the big sister defending over the shoulder of Ukraine, such that if Russia was to invade Ukraine, the UK would come in and defend Ukraine. And the UK said, we're ready to do this. But here's the problem. How is that not NATO? So this is interesting on a point of leverage and negotiation. If Vladimir Putin accepts this, basically he's accepting that Ukraine will be in NATO. It just won't be called that way. Because if the UK can step in, put its own soldiers in the line who get shot by Russia, then it's a NATO conflict, and NATO will then defend Ukraine and the UK in the same way they would defend a NATO member. So it's kind of they're attempting a subversive approach to the negotiation, where they're basically renaming NATO, and it will not be called a NATO membership, but it will be everything that a NATO membership is. So I hope that Putin doesn't fall for the trap here. I hope that I would suspect that he's intelligent enough to understand that even if it's not called a NATO membership, it would essentially sum up to this. Yes, so people were asking, except Steph Butt when he attacked you, but then you went on his stream to BTFO him on UPB. Well, in the case of Stefan Molyneux, he has withdrawn and deleted his mistaken and fallacious attack on my person and on my family. So when you apologize, sometimes I can de-blacklist you. But Steph has never been added to the blacklist because he's removed his comment within an hour of posting it, or an hour that I was aware of it, at least, because I sent him immediately an email saying, don't do this, Steph. The art of the argument, take me for my arguments instead of taking me for the lies that are said about me in the media. Despite the slow pace of Russia's advance in Ukraine, there is still considerable risk of breakthrough, triggering progressive collapse of defensive positions, rapidly expanding Russia's reach east of the Dnieper River, The progression is beautiful in the way particularly this region of Ukraine has been secured by Russia is quite spectacular. Makes me think that this is what matters for now, and eventually look at what they think is the intention of Russia. That was phase one, secure inner borders like this, then phase two, phase three, and then the Kyiv siege may actually be abandoned. It really doesn't matter if they have conquered what they wanted, and if they what they wanted happens to be the east of the Dnieper River. They've basically, I wouldn't say they have accomplished it yet, but they have secured a certainty in the success of the conquest of the east of the Dnieper River. So no matter how this conflict ends, it is my belief that unless Putin is really disinterested in this, Putin can easily have one third of Ukraine. Now, will Putin not care about it? I think he will care about it. I think he will want it. The way these troops are positioned does look like this strategy here is the end goal. And who knows, maybe he will have more ambition and cut Russia here, but that would be a later phase of the plan. But cutting Russia here, cutting Ukraine, sorry, he may want to cut Ukraine here if he's interested in connecting directly to the Transnistria region here and be a border nation to Moldova. Or if things don't go as planned or the costs are too high or it's not sustainable, he may just want to cut Ukraine here through the Dnieper River. Just that says, if JF ever got Putin live on here, Trudeau would send out his RCMP goons to seek out and antagonize JF. Yeah, but wouldn't that be nice? I would love to have Vladimir Putin here on the show. I think it would be a great, you know, like back in the days of the Russian hockey team against the Canadian hockey team, a clash of two giants. That was nice. Russian grad MLRS being put on fire. Look at this. The farmers are putting some straw and some logs. They want the whole thing to catch fire, and then they will light it up. Listen, I wouldn't be around this as it catches fire, knowing that there could be missiles in there. Who knows? I mean, this can explode significantly. It's a multiple rocket launcher system, and they've set it up so that it would catch fire. And he's trying to suck up fuel from it, apparently. And now that they've sucked up fuel, perhaps they have made some kind of a Molotov cocktail. And now they just run away. They run away to their car. I wouldn't stay there too long because who knows when these missiles explode, if there were missiles. At the exit from Kyiv in the Vyshgorod region, Russian troops struck with an airstrike, making something catch fire. Some manufacture or military site, I don't know. Lots of black smoke in the skies of Ukraine. And this was a strike on a warehouse of paint and varnish. Now that leads to extreme fire and pollution, all these solvents, major fire, polluting the skies of Ukraine even more. This is a video angle on this same fire. Wow, have you seen the zoom on this camera? I mean, it's not a camera. At this point, it's a telescope. Look at how it de-zoomed. Look at it. Whoa. This guy has some equipment. This is a missile that they are they are trying to destroy. So the way they do this is that they put it in a big hole of sand. So they will lift it up. Put it in a hole. Then they blow it up from a distance. I don't know exactly how. I don't know how they initiate it. I guess they put some kind of remote controlled explosive, but they eventually blow it up. The largest market in Eastern Europe, Barabashovo, completely burned. This is following the strikes of yesterday by Russia. These food markets are actually public places of encounters for a lot of things. It's really not just food. It seems that it was now the seat of many military meetings and operations.
Вот так, ребята. Русский мир, блядь.
John Drake says, Odyssey app as a feature allowing you to listen while you're in other apps. Now cool. YouTube charges for this feature. Yeah, I saw this. It's very interesting. So this is something you only get by paying for YouTube. And Odyssey is saying, no, you know what? It's very easy. It's a software thing. We'll give it to all of our users. This is the difference of a company that wants to be successful, that wants to be popular. On the other hand, YouTube wants to control. YouTube wants to reward you only if you pay. Odyssey is the way to go in the future. Ramzan Kadyrov posted footage of the Battle of Mariupol. So in Mariupol, they are down to essentially attacking local resistance pockets isolated to single building. So when we say Mariupol is 90% done, that's what we mean. Look at this. So they are trying to attack a position, a guy who's positioned high in the tower. I don't know to which extent it's productive to be shooting bullets like this in like basically into the bricks. I don't know what that is. So it's like maybe it's the soldiers trying to make themselves look good, and they were kind of fake shooting at a window. I don't know if there was an actual fighter up there, but then they filmed themselves pulling out children. Okay. Yes, those are the Chechen commandos. I think we were hearing some kind of Islamic prayer in the background. Now they're just getting the children out. I don't know what that is. Propaganda or... I don't know. I don't even know from which side the video is. Is this a video published? Because it's published on a Ukrainian media side. Is it pro-Ukraine Chechens, or is it anti-Russian or pro-Russian Chechens saving babies and then being reported in the pro-Ukrainian media? I have no idea. The airport in Mariupol has been completely taken over. It is currently under the control of the DPR people, so the pro-Russian separatist region. So that's a sign that the institutions, the infrastructure are under control at this point. Mariupol has been taken over. Fractal Man sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, we haven't heard from Turkey in a while. What do you think their role will be in this war? What do you think Erdogan is planning? Well, it's an interesting point. I don't know. I have no idea about Turkey. Semiyogog was very informative to me. It seems Semiyogog, when he came here, he made the case that Turkey has perhaps the biggest army or one of the biggest armies in the world. I didn't know this. And Turkey has decided for now in this conflict to use its power to restrict access to the Russian side, the boats of Russia that wanted to come into the Black Sea. It seems that Turkey has a right to block them when they are in an active war. So that's what they've done. And so you can guess that Turkey is kind of open to take the European side on all this and the Ukraine side, but they've not been super aggressive at pursuing this stance very strongly. The only thing they did is this boat blockade. So for now, that's their position. I guess that Turkey will not be worried about the internals of this conflict. They will simply try to obstruct the Russians to the extent that they can at zero cost. And they were able to do that at zero cost because it was their right according to a treaty. So, Turkey would only be alarmed, I'm supposing, if this Russian advance was to threaten somehow the role of Turkey as an intermediary state between the East, Africa, and the North and the West. So, if Russia takes over so much space, and Ukraine in and of itself would not be enough, but if Russia was to advance, perhaps it would start worrying Turkey. But up to now, I don't see them highly annoyed by this conflict. Just trying to put some sticks in the wheels to slow down the progress, but that might not count at all in the end. Higher educational institutions in Kharkiv, the Moskovsky district. We see some damage, although it's hard to see on this type of camera, but it seems that some damage is here. It seems that a building may have been standing here and here. It seems that this has been destroyed. So the university system apparently getting targeted. Mariupol, the Left Bank administration, came under the control of the DPR, so the armed forces of the DPR are taking more and more institutions under control, the infrastructure. So I guess that would be a sign to me that Mariupol is done. It has been secured by the Russians. Airport, bank institutions of that kind. Vladimir Zelensky nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. That was shocking to our friends at Red Ice TV. They were titling their show today around this. So yes, they made an exception for Vladimir Zelensky. They have made a special exception because the deadline had already been passing. But they said that it would be justified because his action, basically, as part of this conflict, had to arrive. It just so happens that they arrived after the deadline. So the Nobel Peace Prize has totally lost my respect. I've always been relatively neutral about the Nobel Peace Prize. I've never been excited about it. But when they gave it to Barack Obama, I became less than neutral. I became extremely disgusted at this price, and I realized what kind of political tool it was in the end. And here again, Zelensky being nominated for it gives me the feelings that I had back in the days when Obama got it, which is, so they're making basically the, they are using this prize to take a side. And it's the side of the Democrat, it's the side of the extension of the American Empire, it's the side of the left, and it will always be that. Zelensky is the cause of the most amount, is the single man on this planet who probably holds on his shoulder as being the sole cause of the most amount of human suffering this year. I don't know of anyone else who has caused as much suffering as Zelensky this year when he decided that despite being weaker than the Russian army, that he would order his people and force these people by the force of law, force the men of his people to fight a stronger army in a war that they couldn't possibly win. We've not even entered the section of the missile armament of Russia that is like father of all bombs, mother of all bombs, nuclear, tactical nuclear, massive nuclear, Tsar Bomba. We've not even begun to open the deck of cards of Russia. And just with the conventional military stuff, they're getting destroyed. And that's all because of the choice of Zelensky, who instead of saying, hey, you know what? I calculate the amount of force against us. I look at our force. It's not enough. We're going to lose this war, so I'm going, instead of ordering my men to go get shot on the front lines, I'm going to declare I'm going to surrender from the beginning. And back in the days where he could have done so, 3 weeks ago, the demands of Russia were ridiculously reasonable. What were the demands of Russia? Recognize Crimea, give independence to those republics that have voted themselves out of your country already, and don't join NATO. Don't be a threat to Moscow. I mean, this is eminently reasonable. There could have been zero death in this conflict if Zelensky had accepted this deal. Now, ask this to any of the pro-Ukrainian people who want Ukraine to continue fighting. Even if you were to continue fighting for the next month or for the next 6 months if you want, do you really think at the end that you're going to have a better deal than this? I mean, your infrastructure has been totally destroyed. Your airports are totally neutralized. The east of your country has been chopped off. You really think you're going to get a better deal than Crimea, DPR, LPR, and no NATO membership? It's not going to happen. There's going to be no Ukraine by the time Zelensky decides to do the right thing. And at that point, the conditions on the Russian side may very well have changed. I will tell you that if I was Vladimir Putin, I would not accept at this point to go back to my original offer. I would take more. I would say, now that I've lost soldiers and equipments dealing with this shit, I want the whole east of Ukraine. I want much more than what I was asking for. Because if you let these people get away with fighting you back when they can't win and increasing your military expenses and increasing the opportunity for sanctions against you, you are allowing them to use their own people, their own civilians, as just a way to pick at you, just a way to disrupt you. And in the end, they are the big losers of this irrational decision. The idea that the man who made this irrational decision would have the Nobel Peace Prize? Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. Boxing champion Gladiator Bovar recorded a video from Mariupol. The city is 80% destroyed. Okay, well, I won't keep playing it because there's some music, but you get the idea. Mariupol destroyed. Justet says, 2019 interview, Zelensky advisor predicts join NATO equals war, absorbed by Russia equals war. Okay. But they haven't joined NATO, and there's a war. CDC removes 24% of child COVID-19 deaths, thousands of others. 24% of the child COVID-19 deaths were found to be an error. The health aid agency quietly made the change on its data tracker website on March 15. That was 3 days ago. Data on deaths were adjusted after resolving a coding logic error. Oops. So COVID is even less hurtful to children than it was claimed, and we all knew that the system for counting COVID deaths has been biased to the maximum to make this disease look the worst. But now they're discovering coding logic error that leads to a 24% correction. 24%. And they were publishing, you know, media articles saying you want to get the vaccine for your children because it's still more dangerous than the flu, and there's still people dying from it. Well, already 24% have been admitted it was bullshit. The rest might very well contain further bullshit. Firestarter says, so 10 COVID deaf kids to 8 deaths. That's something like this, like the number was extremely small already and what was being amplified by the media. But they see when they use these coding logic error just for a certain moment so they can intimidate the population, they can deceive the population into overestimating the danger. It's disgusting because these errors happen always on their side. It always favors their narrative. And they are always corrected in silence also. It's like, what about you correct them by making a walk of shame? When is the walk of shame for all the COVID crap they've served us? Florida governor announces additional $289 million to improve student achievement and close learning gaps. As I was explaining at the beginning of the show, not a superb investment, because although you may be intending for it to be going to the kind of, you know, they say we're going to work on math, civics, English, and Holocaust education. In the end, it's always going to end up in leftist hands and it's going to end up working against you. Should DeSantis continue funding educational stuff or just defund the educators? Two people say fund, one person says defund, but we've lost 5 votes that we had at the beginning, but unfortunately, because entropy restarted, they are not there anymore. But it seems that you guys are for the funding of education by the state. I'm telling you guys, it's an error. The more you fund education by the state, the more you subject it to corrupt overtake by leftists, and eventually it's going to turn against you. So don't fund education, just produce your own education, educate your own children. The more you fund it, the more you give up some control over it, and eventually you don't know how it ended up there, but you got a bunch of Marxist LGBT activists chopping the dicks of your kids. Lawyer for mother of Hunter Biden's daughter. Wait a minute. The lawyer for the mother of Hunter Biden's daughter. Okay, so the lawyer for Hunter Biden's ex, who has a baby with Hunter Biden, says he expects president's son to be indicted. That is very interesting. So the lawyer who's not the lawyer of Hunter Biden at all. Presumably, they are kind of, they are, yeah, the baby mama. That's literally how she was calling herself or something like this, or he called her that. I think we've reviewed this back in the days of the whole interview with Hunter Biden and his crack addiction. And I remember this was a long time ago. This was the public space, back in the public space days. So interestingly, there's some conflict in the family. So the lawyer for the mother is not sympathetic to Hunter Biden and is not working for Hunter Biden. So he goes out in the media and he says he thinks that the theory I presented yesterday, the hypothesis that the reason the New York Times is coming out with a recognition that the laptop story is true is that they want to clean themselves up ethically before the thing moves to the next step, which would be prosecution. I hope that prosecution happens because we have clear emails saying 10 for the big guy. That means reserving money. Hunter Biden was reserving money for bringing into the US from foreign corrupt dealings that he was selling the influence of his father. And he was acting based on all these communications that were intercepted and received. My conclusion is that Hunter Biden is kind of acting as the fraudulent account holder for the whole Biden family, like extended family, not just Biden. Just he has corrupt money and he's holding it all in his hands. And he's making sure that, oh yeah, this young girl will get her new car and you get your new leather jacket and oh, I'm going to pay you this and that. That's how Hunter Biden operates. Now, when you are at the cornerstone of such a network of corruption, presumably what's happening is Joe Biden would never engage in dirty hand corruption of that kind because he would be detected quickly and he would be prosecuted and it would tarnish his possibility of becoming a president. However, Hunter Biden doing it leads to all sorts of further charges, potentially tax charges, tax-related violations of the law, because he's kind of acting as a fake name, as a intermediary agent for economic activity that is not really his. He's essentially doing the bidding of his father for various members of his family by redirecting corrupt money that some of it may not even get declared. And one other way they avoid declaring this money in taxes is that they call it a loan, but they never reimburse it. Like, think about the weakness in our legal system, where if I declare income, I will pay like 50% taxes on it in Canada, and not so far from 50% in the US, presumably, if you have state taxes and everything. But if you say, oh no, it's a loan from my Chinese partner, then this whole amount of money gets into your bank account and you owe zero because it's not an income, it's a loan. Now what they do is then they say, oh, sorry, Mr. Chinese partner, I will not be able to reimburse the loan. I'm in debt, it's not going well, I can't reimburse. No harm done, because on the Chinese side, they didn't care. They just wanted to send the money. They knew that they wouldn't get paid back. But because they call it a loan, you don't get to pay your taxes on it. Now, that's a corrupt way of functioning, and my understanding is that much of the Hunter Biden money transfers are done in that format. So that is potentially prosecutable. Steven Robinson says, hey, JF, that movie Django was great. Any recommendations for this weekend? Yeah, Django was really great. Well, me and Mama JF were trying to go through the Quentin Tarantino filmography. So I, of course, you know, Pulp Fiction is a classic if you want to watch it. But then Quentin Tarantino comes with a problem. You know, we've been trying to watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And this is bad. It's not interesting. And too bad, because it's a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. But the amount of Hollywood insiders jokes in this is ridiculous. It makes the thing impossible to digest. So I certainly wouldn't recommend Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I think we're going to go for Inglourious Bastard very soon. We're going to watch it, and we'll see. I did watch it a long time ago, but I want to rewatch it. Of course, when you watch a Quentin Tarantino, you have to understand you're not watching reality. Inglourious Bastard is not a documentary on Nazism. You have to approach it with Inglourious Bastard is a documentary on the post-war representation of Nazism. And it's really a revisionist document. That's what Quentin Tarantino does. He doesn't make a film about the reality. He makes a film about what people can imagine could be a dream reality of some kind. And a kind of fantasy of revenge. He's very much into this. So when you consider Django, this was the beginning of Quentin Tarantino in fantasies of revenge. I mean, you could argue that it's present in some of his old movies, but to make it the big theme, structuring the whole movie like this, the fantasy of revenge in Django Unchained is the idea of the slave just revolting against the slave masters. Kill Bill is, of course, the idea of the sexually assaulted female revolting against the male, Bill. And Inglourious Bastard is the idea of, I don't know, the Jew, perhaps, or just the Western man revolting against Nazism. So, yes. Django, to me, was very interesting. Although you have to approach Django with an understanding that you're looking at propaganda. You're looking at an imaginary revisionist interpretation of history. But if you look at it from this perspective, it still informs you on this fantasy of revenge theme that has been continuously explored by Tarantino. Just that says, Kill Bill 1 and 2, same thing. Most Tarantino flicks are around revenge. Yes. Bonham Bonham says, JF, do you think that there being remarkable races indicate that crossbreeding might not have been evolutionarily advantageous? And if so, does that not mean that while we are unable to pinpoint exactly why, we should trust genes and not engage in crossbreeding? Great show. Thanks. It's hard. And there's always crossbreeding happening at a given level, you know. White people are diverse, and so there has been some amount of crossbreeding leading to who we are. And there's been some amount of restricted and non-crossbreeding leading to the local distance, the local differentiation of the subcategories, the subpopulations within the race, such that today still genetically being French or German or Finnish is different, or Finn. I don't know if we say Finn or Finnish. So this whole idea that we could make a statement about crossbreeding is bad or crossbreeding is good is a bad way to look at it. There are infinite levels of possible views of this was restrictive breeding. You know, what led to the French to German differentiation of genetics? Was this crossbreeding or not crossbreeding? Well, it was the French crossbreeding within themselves and the Germans crossbreeding within themselves, but not crossbreeding as much between the French and the German, which led to the distinction. Now, is the French to German genetic distinction worth something? Was this a good thing? should we have enforced French to German equal reproduction so that we would never have had a differentiation between the two? The world goes on in whatever direction it goes, and these ensembles are all building above each other, you know? After considering the French to German distinction, then consider the Slav Eastern to Western European distinction. Was this worth keeping? Well, the thing is, the question of whether it's worth is not even worth addressing. It happened. And just like your sexual decisions of today will result in a state of the world tomorrow, and the question of whether it's worth it won't matter because it will have happened. That's what matters. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, I just found a movie called Inglourious Basterds from 1978. Okay, so there was a movie with this title before Quentin Tarantino. I didn't know. All right, so that's it for tonight, although there was this last news item. Biden warned Xi of consequences if China materially supports Russia during call. I think that the US should calm down on threatening everyone, because China is starting to be annoyed, and they're saying very clearly to the US, stop threatening us. That's not how it works. We are a peaceful agent in this whole scenario, and you're like already threatening us. I agree. China should be annoyed, and the US should shut up. Much love. Don't forget to join the Subscribestar or the Patreon show if you'd like to support the show. We need your support to keep going. Much love to everyone. I'm going to watch Inglourious Basterds, although I know that it's not a true historical movie. Bye-bye. Thank you.